available on our website at kboo.fm/evening news. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Eric Leuschner. All our KBOO programs are made possible by support from our members. KBOO is currently in our end-of-the-year fundraising drive, and our goal is to raise $75,000 by December 31st. If you'd like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to the number 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News in Depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Hi, this is Carmel with KBOO News. Coming up in January, the group Heidi Duckler Dance Northwest is putting on a series of dance workshops that are open to the public. They will be hosting a series of dance workshops that are open to the public. They'll be hosted at Las Arioletas on Northeast Killingsworth here in Portland. I spoke with the instructor, Tony Carnell, to learn more.
I am Tony Carnell. I'm one of the project dancers and performing artists for Heidi Duckler Dance Northwest.
So you're hosting a series of movement workshops in January at Las Arioletas in Portland. What can you tell me about this workshop?
Yeah, we're super excited to be back at Las Arioletas. We started there a couple years ago. That little area of Portland is so full of incredible people and incredible things. Heidi Duckler found it just kind of by accident one time, and it has been the most beautiful kind of like relationship. It's Las Arioletas is an income-based housing property, and they have a venue in the bottom of their apartment building that's just this incredible space. We actually created a dance film in their space. It's kind of like this big open area with like a kitchen. It's like meant for hosting, and we had this opportunity to go in there and create a film, and that kind of created this really beautiful relationship with the residents of Las Arioletas. And then across the street is the community transitional school, which is also really, really amazing. Low-income students who are just like the most incredible kids you have ever met, and incredibly talented. They're incredible dancers, they're smart, and we just have built the most amazing relationship. So this whole connection is bringing the arts in different ways to that community.
What is your dance background?
Yeah, my dance background is vast. I started back in 2009. I got a full tuition scholarship to attend a ballet training program in my hometown, Boise, Idaho. And I went to this ballet school. I didn't think I would go back. And I enjoyed it. It was fun for the first couple of weeks, but it was an outreach program. And when it ended, I got a full tuition scholarship to do it again. So I actually got to go train at a ballet school for an entire year. And then I kept going back and I kept getting scholarships. And that's really what kicked off my dance career, was this nonprofit coming into my elementary school and teaching free dance classes, which is what we're doing at Las Arioletas.
Is this your first time teaching a movement workshop like this?
No, I've been teaching dance in general, but movement workshops and big master classes for several years now. I started my own dance company, masterclass brand called TCM, Tony Carnell Masterclass, a couple of years ago, where I was traveling to competitive dance studios and teaching these really, really big workshops to dance students. And I teach a ton here in the community all over. I teach for Heidi Duckler, but I also teach for Open Space, which is located in Kenton. They're incredible. And just all over Portland, I have this amazing list of places that I get to connect with and teach.
How would you prepare for this dancing experience for someone that's aspiring to be a dancer?
Well, I think the biggest thing is sometimes when people hear dance, they immediately are like, well, I'm not a dancer. I can't take a dance class. I really want to move people away from that idea. I teach really, really hard dance classes, but I also can teach class for everyone. So even if you have never taken a dance class or a movement class of any kind, I still want you in my class because there's still something that we can work with. I kind of have this saying of like, everybody is a mover. Anyone can find rhythm with guidance. And that is what is so incredible. So this class, there's really nothing to get ready for. Bring yourself, bring comfortable clothes to be in, come with an open mind. This class is not just geared for teenagers and kids. It's geared for everyone, your mom, your grandma, your dad. Like, this is really like an opportunity to put yourself in a new environment and come move.
There's going to be a community showcase at the end of the month. What is that going to look like?
So the community showcase we've done a couple of times now at the end of our series. For each different thing, we had a music workshop, we've had a big painting workshop that we've also done, and we've had so many people come in and work with the community. And at the end, we do this like showcase, which is just family and friends and community. We do some really, really good food that we bring in from local vendors, and we just get to present whatever the work was that we got to work on for the month. So mine will be a little dance showcase. So anything that we created in my workshop for the 4 weeks, we'll get to kind of put together a little show just for our family and friends. It's just a good time to kind of get together and show what we've been working on.
If our listeners are wanting to learn more, how can they do that?
They can always check us out on social media. We love to send people towards our social media. Heidi Duckler Dance Northwest, which is our Instagram. Heidi Duckler Dance is actually in two places, here in Portland and in LA. So there's two versions of Heidi Duckler Dance. They can do Heidi Duckler Dance Northwest on Instagram. They can do Heidi Duckler Dance LA, which is also another option to find lots more info about Heidi Duckler Dance and what she's doing in general. And then they can also check out my social media, where I always have things listed too, at The Real Tony C, which is on Instagram. So Heidi Duckler Dance, we get to do all these incredible projects, create films, kind of work in the community, and do a variety of different things. We're a site-based production company, so we do dance shows and art creations and so many different things all over the city of Portland. We love to dance at the Keller Fountain. It's like one of our most favorite places to dance. And so we're always putting on these really big events, but we can't do it without funding. We've got some incredible people helping us make these things happen. All these shows that we get to put on each year are brought to us by some really amazing people. The MAP Fund is one of the organizations that that is connected to us, and they're so great. We're so like grateful for that relationship. The MAP Fund is funding this Garden of Doors, which is at Los Adelitas. This whole project has been funded by them. They work with people all over the United States. So it's not even just Portland. We're so proud to like be on this huge spectrum of people, and to be on their radar is super cool. The Oregon Arts Commission, there's just so many people that are involved in the creation of art here in the Portland community. And I'm just so grateful. We're so grateful as an organization to be connected to these people. They're just so wonderful. So the class will be a fusion between contemporary and jazz. I like to call it jazz funk. We think it's kind of a little bit of like hip hop, kind of a little bit of contemporary, meaning there's lots of carving and lots of like softer movements. And then, you know, you've got your good old school jazz kind of energy in there. So it'll be kind of a mixture of things. Everybody loves it kind of thing. So I'm excited to get to share it.
What has inspired your current choreography?
years ago, I got signed to a talent agency in Los Angeles. And when you get signed to a dance agency out there, you have to kind of be fluent in all styles. But one of the main styles that you see when you watch TV, like award shows or things like that, what dancers are doing is either hip hop or a mixture, which is the jazz funk. So I've always been inspired by that kind of movement, anything that's commercial based. So think when you watch a commercial on TV for jeans or whatever, and you see people dancing, that's the kind of movement that I like to create. So that's kind of the vibe that we'll go for. Yeah, I'm excited. It's been a world that I've been playing in for a little while now. I got really excited about the kind of jazz funk commercial world after going to some dance conventions, and they kind of changed and altered my brain chemistry a little bit when it came to dance, and I'm super excited about all of them, and so I just kind of took on that same kind of energy. So yeah, it's really exciting. It's a very cool energy in those classes. People coming to this workshop, I really want it to feel like a safe place for people to kind of explore. It's not, we'll have cameras out, but, and that's kind of makes people panic, but I want to give people the opportunity to kind of be themselves and stand in who they are. And so my class is also really, really rooted in like confidence. So if you're a, you know, 8-year-old coming to take my class, if you're, you know, a 40-year-old that's coming to take my class, my job is to help you feel confident in whatever stage of dance that you're in. And then build from there. So I think it's really, really good for everybody, but I really want people to know that the class is a safe place for you to just expand and explore and have a good time.
That was Tony Carnell with Heidi Duckler Dance Northwest talking to me about the upcoming workshop. More information about the movement workshop is online at bit.ly/movement-workshops. For KBOO News, I am Carmel Pierre-Louis.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to KBOO News In Depth. I'm Althea Billings. Although there is supposed to be a ceasefire agreement in Lebanon, observers on the ground say that Israel has violated that agreement thousands of times. KBOO contributor David Rosenberg spoke with Beirut-based journalist Hannah D. Salman about Israeli actions in Lebanon.
What have the Israelis been doing in Lebanon in the last few months? You know, we certainly hear stories, including bombing in Beirut or near Beirut and incursions into the territory and them setting up a zone in southern Lebanon that they're claiming. And what's going on there?
They're just continuing what they have been doing since 1948 for the region, I mean. But
they don't always have troops in Lebanon, right?
No, not yet. Oh, they do. They do. They okay. do have 5 bases in the south of Lebanon.
Oh, they, and they have had
100 to 150 soldiers in each base. And they use these bases to make land incursions and to bomb the villages there. And obviously, they're not going to go out easily from there. Anyway, I mean, when the genocide started in Gaza, Lebanon and mostly Hezbollah decided, which is the resistance movement and party in Lebanon, decided to back up Gaza by hitting some few places in, I don't call it Israel, I'm sorry, I mean, in occupied Palestine. So the war started when the Israelis, on September 23rd, 2024, that was the deadliest attack that they launched, a series of attacks. And in one day, they killed 558 people, 50 of whom are children, and they left 1,800 injured. This is an attack that it's a series of strikes and raids all over Lebanon that happened. On November 28th, 2024, there was a cessation of military actions on both sides. There was an agreement to cease all kind of aggressions. Of course, Lebanon abided by the agreement. Israel did not. So ever since a year ago, we have 335 people killed in Lebanon. We have 1,200 ground incursions in Lebanon, 51 attacks a month on average. We have 973 people injured, and there were like 15,198 violations of the agreement, of which there are 1,200 ground incursions. So this is what's been happening, I mean, on the ground, if you wish. Of course, there are the 5 points that I told you about previously. They monitor, they control the territories. There are daily shells and bombings. They don't allow people to go reconstruct. Of course, the villages that are on the borders are just left in ruins because they've been hit very hard during the war.
So the Israelis say what, that they're Hezbollah villages or somehow they're hostile, something like that?
In that agreement that they made, the Lebanese army, the Lebanese government were supposed to disarm Hezbollah south of the Litani River. So Israel pretends that the government is working very slowly, that it's not doing, the army is not doing what it's supposed to do. I mean, they don't need a pretext. And yes, and they bomb civilian homes and they say these are Hezbollah centers, etc.
So what is Hezbollah's attitude towards this whole question of disarming? I mean, I imagine that they would consider that as surrender and wouldn't want to do that, right?
No, just before I answer that, I just want to say that there are dozens of villages in the south that have not been able to reconstruct since a year ago because the Israelis won't let anybody get near their houses or villages. They bomb any construction material or machinery, etc.
So in a way, similar to what they've done in Gaza.
Yes, because one would think that they would want to widen or to build up some kind of a you know, zone that they would not let anybody in to quote unquote secure their safety, as they would say. As for Hezbollah, Hezbollah was part of that agreement, and they agreed on the part of disarming the resistance south of the Litani. Ever since, there has been, you know, like exactly like what's happening in Gaza, they keep changing their mind. They said, no, we didn't say this. I mean, the Israelis and the Americans. No, we want north of the Litani too. No, we want Midrash. Yani, there are so many conditions. Lebanon says, we will not sit on the same table with you to discuss any military issues unless the aggressions stop. The Israelis say the aggressions won't stop unless you disarm Hezbollah. And then every time there's one more condition and then one more condition. And this is how it's happening. Last condition was that they wanted a civilian in the military discussions that are under the auspices of the U.S. and the U.N. And Lebanon was refusing all the time because Lebanon does not have any kind of treaty with Israel. And Lebanon still considers Israel as an enemy. And there was so much pressure from the Americans, from the Gulf countries, from the Israelis, that they had to send a former Lebanese ambassador to Washington, actually, to represent, to take part in the discussions with the UN and the Americans and the Lebanese army.
And what about the Lebanese army? What is their role in this situation? Are they trying to drive the Israelis out, or are they trying their best to observe the agreement?
I wish they were trying to drive the Israelis out. They never did, actually. This is why we have had resistance all the way. The army follows political instructions, executive instructions. So they were told to go disarm Hezbollah south of the Litani and elsewhere. But the army, because they are military people, they know how dangerous that is. I mean, the border, how clashing with people in the south and elsewhere is very damaging to the whole country. And also because most of these villages are Shiite villages, they didn't want to create any kind of additional split between the people in this country. So they're moving, I believe, I mean, so far, wisely and cautiously. They're doing what they have to do, but they're not clashing with the members of the resistance at the same time. Israel is killing them anyway, or also it pretends.
So the commentary we've heard about Hezbollah being severely weakened in Lebanon. Is that true, do you think?
I don't know if anybody knows that. There are two scenarios. One is that they're very weakened, and that's why they're not doing anything so far. And the second would be that they're rebuilding, and this is why they're hiding. They're just focusing on rebuilding and becoming strong again, and that's why they're not being active militarily now. But at the same time, I mean, whichever scenario is the right one, Hezbollah knows that it doesn't want to bring the country into yet another war. That would be, I wouldn't want to say that they wouldn't be able to win, but it would be unfair because, I mean, with all those new technologies used by Israel, with all that American and Gulf Arab backing for Israel, I mean, we've seen it all in Gaza. So anything that's going to happen now, it has to be very well calculated and very smartly and wisely planned.
Yeah, especially in light of what's happened in the past. You had the civil war that lasted, what, for something like 15 years. You had the other Israeli incursions, and it seems like people have suffered there quite a bit.
Yes, of course, there's that. But also, I read a quote by someone who was saying that, I mean, 2 years ago, we were fighting, we'd be fighting, and we'd know that maximum that would happen is that we have arms, they have arms, and we're fighting. But now, the arms they have, like the AI, the, you know, monitoring, the spying technology they have, the I'm sorry, I can't find
well,
the
words.
Well,
they've got an Iron Dome, and they've got all kinds
exactly,
of...
Exactly, but also mostly everything that's very new technologically. They can place someone where he is, what he's doing, where he went, and then they hit them like they did in Gaza and they did in Lebanon when they killed Hassan Nasrallah, the Secretary General of Hezbollah. So how can you find, when you don't have the proper arms, when your enemy is so much ahead of you in this field particularly?
So any kind of predictions about what might happen in the near future?
There's always rumors all over the country that a new war is starting, a new war is starting. If you don't do this, a new war will start. If you don't do that, a new war will start. So this is part of, I think, a psychological warfare to keep the people, I mean, like pressuring so that what the Israelis want would happen. But personally, I don't think that the war stopped anyway, because since November last year, not a day, not one single day, there was no attack or people killed, etc. I mean, on the other side, some people link the probability of war in Lebanon to that of a war with Iran as a prediction. Well, others say, no, it's going to happen fast and quick. And then there's a group of people who think it's not going to happen. It's just going to go on like the way it is happening right now. But I think that Israel, without even going to war, is gaining in Lebanon today everything that it wants politically, militarily, even economically. I mean, economically, we've been under siege for years now. Nobody would release any kind of money for aid for reconstruction or whatever unless we move ahead with the talks with Israel and the U.S. Trump came and complicated even more things, you know?
Yeah, it seems like the Israelis feel like they're in such a position of advantage that they could pretty much do whatever they want in the region with the unconditional backing of the U.S. So it seems like a very difficult situation for all the countries around in that area.
But David, I mean, that's the way it always had been. I mean, only Gaza showed it to the rest of the world, you know? But Israel has enjoyed impunity and unaccountability ever since it was created.
Although they just weren't as strong, it seems, you know, it seems like the U.S. at least had to try to respect some human rights concerns, even if it was kind of not as genuine as it should have been. It was kind of like they were obligated to do so, you know what I mean? Like imposing sanctions on settlers, something like that.
Yes, when it suits the United States, it does this, but also it does this only to slow the pace, not because it's completely against it. I think that what we're witnessing right now is a moment where the concerned players, mainly the US, the Israelis and some Gulf countries decided that we don't want any more resistance. We don't want any more enemies to Israel. We want to have peace, quote unquote, in this region. We want to have economic openness, etc., etc. You know what I'm talking about.
Sure, good trade relations, good
Yeah,
pretty.
exactly. I mean, they want to be happy. They want to have Riviera and in Gaza. They want to have casinos, etc. I mean, you see what I mean. This means that, okay, getting rid of Gaza didn't really happen exactly as they wished. Syria is out, and that was not very innocent. There was a war against Iran. It's not over yet, but we don't know if Iran really wants to go back to war. The Iraqis are being contained, and then the Yemen is being fought because there are secessionist militias in the south of Yemen that want to go back to splitting the country. So now the Houthis are fighting. I mean, there's an ongoing a battle there.
Oh, in addition to the
Yes.
forces wanting to restore the king or the president, yeah.
Exactly. So they keep them busy. They keep everybody else busy. I mean, they keep them busy. I don't mean it like this, but I mean, so everybody would shut up and would be dealing with their own business. And then we'll have a beautiful Riviera where none of us would be able to live. I mean, it's so much not us. But I believe in us, and I believe that as we did every single time since 1948, we're gonna do it this time too. They're not gonna be able to do that actually, go on with their plans. I don't think so.
Yeah,
There are
the
so many realities on the ground that would not. It wouldn't work. It would not. I mean, look at the people of Gaza. Everything that's happened in Gaza, nobody's leaving, or almost nobody's leaving. I mean, if it had to be finished, I mean, I read Foreign Policy published a survey saying that 92% of the people of the Syrians do not want normalization with Israel, despite all what's happening.
And the Israelis, with their narrative, they've always said, well, we just want to live in peace, and these crazy
Yes,
people
yes.
keep attacking us, and if they would only
Oh.
accept us, then we could live in peace.
I don't think anybody buys this anymore. I mean, Gaza changed the world, in my opinion. Not for me, not for us Arabs, I mean, who live here, because we've always known what Israel is. But the world, of course, it changed the world. I mean, look at all the surveys and among the Israelis. I mean, they're okay with killing Palestinian children. They're okay with killing Palestinian civilians. They're okay with, I mean, how can you live with people,
Yeah,
any
they
people?
just think, how can any country stand being attacked all the time? We can't take this. No other country would permit this. So why can't we just wipe these people out so they won't attack us anymore? That seems to be the attitude.
They can be my guest. I mean, let them wipe us all out. If we had half the technology and arms they have, it's not even their battle. I mean, every single time there was a land battle on foot, they would be beaten. They would get beaten. Only when they use American and other German, whatever, arms and technology and intelligence, yeah, they get where they were, where they want.
Yeah, I know it's been said by many commentators that if they had to deal with the war on their own, they would have either been defeated or they would have had to stop, without American aid.
Yeah. I mean, and everything, I mean, and even now, after everything that's happened, did you see they were queuing to get Portuguese passports? Everybody's longing to leave because they have this huge economic crisis, etc. So the meaning or the calculation of win and lose has to be done on long term, not short term, I guess.
Yeah, I know there's certainly in recent years been a lot of people leaving Israel.
Yes.
Anything else you want to add?
Yes. When are you guys gonna get rid of Trump?
Ha!
I
Well,
mean, look what he's doing to you, and he's almost, he's strangling us. Come on, you vote for a president, and then we have to the consequences. We have to pay for the consequences.
no matter what president it is, it seems like there's still consequences, except it's just worse with him.
Yes, exactly. I know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I mean, maybe one day. I don't like blaming others for what we are witnessing. I think if we were strong enough, I'm not saying militarily, I'm saying strong enough in all aspects. I mean, intellectually, and we are, but I mean, not enough. More united as Arabs. I don't know, more educated, because now it's becoming very, very hard to get educated.
Yeah, it's unbelievable to hear these stories about these kids in these war-torn areas still going to school and trying to study and, you know, make their lives better. It's amazing. Yeah.
But I mean, if you take Syria, for instance, they've had like, what, 14 years of war? And kids wouldn't go to school during, because they had, I mean, we have a lot of Syrians here and they never go to school. You have kids who are 13 and 15 who are working as a delivery boys and stuff, and they've never been to school. It's sad. In Lebanon, the same. And the Palestinians, the same. I mean, the Sudan used to be great intellectuals. They used to read a lot. I mean, the books would, Arab books would sell in Sudan and Iraq mostly. And those two countries have been hit, unfortunately. We're not in a good position. We're not in a good shape. And we have rulers that just, I mean, do their best to keep ruining us on all domains.
That was Hanady Salman, a Beirut-based journalist. The film Letters from Beirut, War of 33, is based on her writings. She spoke with KABU contributor David Rosenberg about violations of the ceasefire agreement between Israel and Lebanon. For KABU News in Depth, I'm Althea Billen.
David Barsamian of Alternative Radio, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Are you ready for another year of grassroots community radio? With your support, it's possible. Go to kabu.org